welcome the Lord into this service. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by His Spirit. I believe there's somebody fighting, and God says, I just want you to hold your peace. I'll fight that battle. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, right now, God, I thank you for all that you are. God, all that you're doing. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray over every person right now. Father, if there needs to be healing flow through their body, God, I thank you that healing flows through the body of your kids this morning. Father, where there's addiction, in the name of Jesus, I bind up addiction in this place. Right now, I loose recovery into the arms, into the hearts of your kids. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that they walk in divine health. Lord, I ask right now, God, if anybody ain't saved, Lord, I ask that you'd convict their heart, God, and I ask that you'd save them. Father, from the inside out. And Lord, right now, I turn this service over to you. And Lord, I tell you to have whatever you want for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I am going to ask a very special group of people to come up here. And that is Zane Hilton, Colton Harp, and Cortland Perdue. And Miss Sherry, you better be taking some good pictures. These wonderful young adults have graduated high school. Amen. And as their pastor of all three of them, I know that they are on to bigger and better things. How many of you remember what it was like to get your diploma and to be out of school? Me too. That's why we're about to pray for them. There you go, sweetheart. All right. Cortland, get over here with these boys. Y'all stretch your hands this way. I know. They think they took a bath today. I'm going to pray over these young people right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I speak that purpose to come about in their life right now in Jesus' name. God, they're not here by accident. God, you put them, Lord, you knit them together in their mother's womb. And Father, you cause them to be here in this time, in this generation. So Lord, right now I speak divine purpose, God, to flow out of their life. God, I ask that you would put that hedge of protection, God, over them. Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, let them live long and strong on the face of the earth. Lord, in the name of Jesus. And God, Lord, I speak to wild oats and I say, Lord, that they don't have to sow them right now in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you, Lord, that these are covenant kids. And God, I ask right now, Lord, that you would help them to live out their purpose. God, there was a reason you put them here. So Father, I thank you that they have clarity and that the purpose comes to the very surface. Lord, you have something very specific that you want them to do. God, I ask that you would show them and bring them right to it in Jesus' name. Amen. We love y'all. We are very proud of you. Does anybody want to preach this morning? I thought I would ask. They're not taking me up on it. Well, then y'all go sit down. We love you. If Coco was up here, he'd say, yeah, I'll preach. And he would, and he'd probably do it better than me. This evening, I have been working. You know, I don't like to be normal because it's not me. Amen. I've never been normal, not one day in my life. I don't even know what that is because that's just a bunch of farce. I don't know anybody normal. And the moment you can really embrace that you're different, that you're unique, that you're chosen, that you're set apart, well, you'll just have a better time at life. But I like for church to be fun. I like it to be exciting. I like people to have things to look forward to. I have been just doing things a little bit different in our Sunday evening service. We are having service tonight at 5:30. And I believe that every time we hear a message that we are the sheep, God's children, they are fed the Word of God. And so tonight we're going to give away some gift cards to some local. Don't get all excited because you know there ain't very many. Okay? But we're going to give some away. I like to feed people. And so y'all come tonight for a chance to get one of those gift cards. I'm going to begin preaching the Word this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I will not ask you to bless your word because, God, it's already blessed. But, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, Lord, I ask that you would bless these people. God, you know exactly how they came in. Lord, if they came in with depression, Father, I thank you that you're meeting them right in that depressed moment. God, if they came in here with trauma, Lord, you've met them right in the trauma. If they came in addiction, Father, I thank you that you've met them right there in that place. God, if they came in with infirmity, Lord, you've met them right in that place. And by your stripes, we are healed. God, I ask you right now, open up every single heart, God, in the place. Lord, for those that's watching on Facebook Live, God, I ask right now that you would do a sweep through, Father, and Lord, let the word fall on the good ground in Jesus' name. Lord, help us to understand your word, and God, help us to live it out in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I am going to minister today on journeying through the delay. How many of you love waiting for things? I hate waiting for things. If I'm going to a fast food place, I've been trying to do that less, but Sonic has really got me. They got me, okay? But if I even think that I'm going to have to wait at one of these places in the drive-thru, I start getting stressed about the possibility of having to wait there, okay? So we are a very impatient humanity at this point in life because everything has been at our fingertips. Everything is at our fingertips now. And that's not necessarily good. And there is a purpose for delay. And many times, delay is not God saying no. It's just God saying it's not time yet. And many times, people leave God in the middle of the waiting period because they get mad at God. Now, if God gave you every single thing that you asked for, every time you asked for it, and when you asked for it, you wouldn't know what to do with it. Amen. Think about that. Now, I'm going to give you a good example. About 16 years ago, I was going to have Carson Paul. And I thought it would be a good idea for God to give me twins so I could just get it over with. And I prayed and I prayed. Now, God only does that to special people like Rita. Rita, raise your hand. She's got two wonderful boys. They're right there and they look just alike. Good luck trying to situate who's who. But anyways, I said, God, please let me have twins. Lord, I want twins. Lord, I want them. Let me tell you something. Thank you, God. He don't give you everything you ask for because he knows there's some things, if he gives them to you, you ain't going to know what to do with them. I'm a very intelligent woman, but Carson Paul is the most amazing person. But there's times where I have to get alone, me and Google and God. I have to whip out that phone. Teenage boy, what do I do? So there's things that God hadn't answered. But for the prayers that he's going to answer, and he just hasn't answered them yet, there's a part of that journey that you need to embrace. And that is not the time to get mad at God. That is not the time to question God's realness. That's another thing that people classically do. Well, I don't know if God's real because why did he do this or why didn't he do that? You know, in the book of Genesis, it said that God created and then it listed all of the things. That's good enough for me. God knows what he's doing. So go with me now to 2 Peter chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 8 through 9, and I'm going to pull out some points about the delay. Many times I preach out of the overflow of my life, and this past week I was made aware of a delay that I was going to be having. And I don't like delays. I'm a fast-paced person unless it deals with cleaning, and I don't like cleaning. Ugh. Thank God for Brother Frank, because he loves cleaning. If he don't love it, then he's just a good faker. But this man, he's fabulous. He'll do the laundry. He'll wash the dishes. He'll vacuum. He Windexes. He does all the things. Them are all the things I don't do. But so the first part about the delay in life is we have to understand that timing, us humans, we want to put a time frame on things. And we want to guarantee a time frame. Really, for us, we're a very insecure people. Most everybody I know is insecure in some way. And a lot of people are insecure because we want a valid guarantee that something's going to happen at a certain point, and then it can be over, and then we can be happy again. Let me tell you, you can't procrastinate your happiness, because then when that thing happens, there'll be something else that takes its place. If you can't be happy in all seasons, then you need to work on that, because nothing's ever going to be great in every aspect of your life. There's going to always be something you wish was different, or you wish it would change and hurry up about it. But timing for us is a human constraint. It's a human constraint. And you can't put a constraint on God. God does not flow and operate in your timing or in my timing. So when you're discouraged about a delay in your life, I found myself discouraged this week, but then I snapped out of it, and I'm going to show you some things in His Word that helped me to do that. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. What is that? Don't forget. You're going to have to be reminded of this over and over in your life, because when it gets hard, there's things that we tend to forget. And here's what the Word of God is reminding us. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. So what the Word is telling us here is that God's timing is not like ours. One day could be like 1,000 for us, and 1,000 could be like a day for Him. He doesn't keep time the way that we do. And we have to accept that, we have to receive it, and we have to wrap our human heart and emotion around the fact God does not operate the way that we do. And He is not on a time frame like we are. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. You know, there's a part of patience that God has to be with His children to answer their prayers. Because we pray for things that at times we are not yet ready for. Amen? We pray for things at times that could be, realistically, a year or so down the road. There's things that we pray for that we ain't ready for. And God is loving and understanding and patient enough to know when is the right time for us. When is it right? He knows that. We need to know that He has His own timing. God operates outside of human constraints. Timing is a human constraint. Where we would rush something, God flows in His own timing, and that timing is absolutely divine. Amen. God has never been late, not even one time. Not one time. Go with me to John verse 11. John verse 11. I'm going to do a lot of reading. Try to make your attention span stick inside of this message. I know when I'm sitting there sometimes and somebody else is preaching besides me, sometimes that's Daddy, and somebody reads a lot, I'm good for about the first three words, and then my mind goes to the crock pot. What I'm going to eat? Do I have ham and cheese in the fridge? Do I got my chips? Stay with me. Stay inside this message. God allows the delay. He allows it. He allows it. Whatever God allows in your life, nothing catches Him off. Nothing catches Him by surprise. If He allowed it, He's already in it. Amen. Amen. Monday, I realized I was going to be in a delay. And I don't mind delays, but I'd like to know when they're going to come to an end. The first moment when I realize something's delayed, my brain goes to, okay, when am I not delayed? When is this happening? I want to know right then. And I sat down. I had a little hissy fit with myself and God and all my personalities. And I said, Lord, now I'm your kid. Now why couldn't somebody, one thing just go simple and smooth? And I just began to tell God. And God's very patient. Can I be honest? Sometimes we just pray some dumb things. And sometimes the way we pray is dumb because we don't have a knowledge about what exactly it is we're praying. We've heard it. And I was looking out the window and I said, in Jesus' name, I just bind this delay up. And right then, God said, Kelly, stop binding me, okay? Because I've allowed the delay. I've allowed it. I allowed the delay. It has a very specific purpose. Not just for you, but for everybody involved. I've allowed it. I'm going to need your trust. My second point for you today, God allowed the delay. He's allowed it. He allows things. And boy, does He use them. Amen, Oakley. Amen, buddy. John chapter 11. Verses 1 through 3. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary, and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped His feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one that You love is sick. They were close to Lazarus. Jesus was close to Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. They were close, they were friends, and He loved them. Jesus loved them. And that's why when they sent word and said, the one that You love is sick. The one that You love. And I'm going to tell you today, God loves you. And just because something is delayed does not mean there's a lack of love. There's There's so much love there that he has for you. The delay is proof of the love. The delay is proof of the love that he has for you. When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." God has a way of making the issue, the problem, the dilemma, the mountain. He has his ways of using that for the glory of God. Is it okay if God decides to get glory out of your delay? Are you mature enough in your salvation to allow God to get glory out of some delay? We're in a day and time where people, they don't want to give God anything. People cannot have correction. People cannot be taught. They cannot anything. And you go to churches, and the second somebody upsets them in a church, well, it's all over Facebook. Can I just explain something to you? And I will say that is not happening here. But I'm going to make some bold statements because people need to be taught. And it takes a preacher with some nerve, and I got it. I promise you, I've been born and raised into the ministry. And I trust God more than I trust anybody in the place. Because, see, people leave you the moment you tell them the truth. And the real sheep, they'll stay, even when they're mad at you. But I'm going to tell you something. If any time you see a bunch of malarkey on Facebook and people slamming this church and slamming this pastor, that is not of God, and God will not bless that. You would do better to not have any part in that. Because it ain't right. And I'm going to tell you something. Ain't nobody ever more church hurt than the pastor that has to stand behind the pulpit. Amen? Now, if that's just offended you, you can either walk out or you got 35 more minutes of me. But I'm going to keep on telling it. Because if people are going to come to Paris Christian Center, there's going to be truth that goes out. Because when the truth comes out, conviction can come in. Amen. Amen? You're either a lover of the truth or you don't like the truth. And if you don't like the truth, you don't like God. But God allows the delay. We need to see delay as an opportunity. Because that's exactly what it is. Delay is an opportunity. It's an opportunity for the faith to grow. It's an opportunity for you to understand more about what's going on in your life. How many of you could stand to know a little bit more about what's going on with you? Me too. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet, verse 6 is very important that we understand it. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. You know, most of the time when you love somebody and you hear they're on their deathbed, you're going to go see them if you really love them. This is why I'm telling you, God don't work like you work. He knew, and he made a statement, and the statement was, death will not be the end of him. And when he heard he was dying, Jesus made the decision to stay where he was 2 more days, delaying a trip to go see Lazarus. Delay has a place inside of the believer's life. We often don't like it, but 100% of the time, if God ordained the delay, if he allowed it, you are better for it afterwards. Amen. Every time. Every single time. So he stayed there. Then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there." And Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light." And after he said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep." What did that mean? Before Jesus ever got there, Lazarus died. Jesus knew it. He knew when he was told that he was sick, he knew he was going to die. He still didn't go just like that. What we see as catastrophe, chaos, all of the things, God doesn't see it like that. He doesn't see it like that. "But I am going there to wake him up." What is he going there to do? Raise him back from the dead. His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." What does this tell us right here? In our human minds, see, what Jesus said was, he's already dead. So they're saying, well, great. If he's sleeping, Jesus said, well, he's fallen asleep. And they said, well, sleep will make him better. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought that he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, and I'm going to read verse 14 in the CEV version for the sake of understanding. See, sometimes when God speaks, he's saying one thing and we are thinking another thing, just like what has just gone on here. Jesus said, he's fallen asleep. Jesus meant he died. The disciples, they said, well, great, sleep is good for people. It'll make them feel better. How many times does God speak to us and it takes us a little bit to understand what he actually meant? A few years ago, I was seeking God and I said, God, what would you have me to pray? What qualities do I need to be a better pastor? He said, Kelly, begin to seek me and ask me for patience. And I thought that was great. Thank you, God, for telling me what you want me to pray for myself. I'll take it. So I began to pray for patience. Well, after about 2 days, I stopped praying for that. I was in every line. Every circumstance, every single thing. And I thought, oh, what has gone on that I'm so delayed and held up constantly now? It was the patience. And when I realized that, reluctantly, I began to pray for patience again, with the knowledge that I was going to be held up quite often. But I'm going to tell you, if you're going to pastor folks, you need compassion and a whole lot of patience. A few weeks ago, Frank and I don't even remember what we were doing. And he looked over at me and he said, did you pray for patience today or something? I mean, what's going on here with this situation? And I said, not today. I did not pray for that today. No. And then there's been times where I've asked him. That's just kind of like a running joke. But in verse 14, it says, then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad that I wasn't there. He's talking about people he loved. He's dead, and I'm glad I wasn't there. And then he gives his reason. Because now you will have a chance or an opportunity to put your faith in me. Now let's go to him. The delay produced an opportunity for the disciples, for the family, for everybody, to put their faith in Jesus. Delays will produce something in your life. The delay has a purpose, and it is absolutely an opportunity. Now, let's go to John chapter 11. We're going to go to verse 33. Jesus gets there. He gets with Martha. He gets with Mary. They tell him that the brother had died. One of the sisters says to Jesus, Lord, if you had just been here, if you would have been here, this wouldn't have happened. See, so many people, they ask God all the time, why did this happen? Lord, I'm mad at you that this happened. God, I'm mad that you allowed it. Lord, you allowed the delay. God, you did this and you did that. Here's the sisters. If you would have just been here, I'm going to tell you something. He's never left your life. He's never left your life. Well, I can't feel him. Well, get out of your feelings. Get out of your feelings, because those feelings are not facts. They're not. Your feelings will tell you God ain't doing nothing. The devil will tell you God ain't doing nothing. Your fear will tell you God ain't doing nothing. God is always working on it. It don't matter what you can see. It don't matter what you hear. And it definitely doesn't matter what you feel. Because your feelings are like night and day. Up one minute, down the next, sideways, flopped over, elated, down in the dumps. We're a very emotional generation, and nobody can handle their emotions. Because there's something that we lack, and it's called self-accountability. When's the last time you just held yourself accountable for the feeling that you had that wasn't right? I'm going to say that one more time. When is the last time you held yourself accountable for the feeling that you kept on allowing yourself to have that didn't line up with His Word? See, not all your feelings and your goosebumps does God like. I'll give you an example out of my own life. There's very few people on the planet that I don't like, but there's a couple of them. And I got to keep my feelings in check. And on my bad days, Tom, I'm an absolute nutbag. And I'll start arguing with them in my head. And I'm like, I haven't talked to these people in years. And I'm over here arguing with them. Now, I know that's funny, but who else does that in the place? See, you got a preacher that'll just tell it. Quit arguing with people in your head. Because I tell you what, you know what's going to happen if you keep on doing that? You're going to see them. And all that rehearsing that you done did. People ask me all the time, Pastor Kelly, how do you think it was that I cussed that person out in harps? Well, look here. I've been in the people business too long. I know exactly how you done it. And if you don't quit that, you're going to keep doing stuff like that. Amen. Now in verse 33, he sees the sisters. They're distraught. They're mourning. He loved this family. They were his very close friends. He knew that he had died before he got there. He delayed going for a purpose. See, when you feel like everything's falling apart and God still is delaying something, just step back and say, Lord, your will be done. God is not intimidated by the catastrophe. It didn't catch him by surprise. And he's very compassionate about what you're going through. Verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. In verse 35, the shortest scripture in all of the Bible, Jesus wept. As a mature believer, I find this verse extremely interesting because Jesus, who knew that he was dead before he ever got there, knew that he would raise him back to life, but he did something that is very important, and it's talked about in the Beatitudes of Matthew. Blessed are those who mourn. Jesus wept. What did he do? He entered in to grief, and he felt the emotion of his sisters, and he was troubled in his spirit. He was sad in his spirit, even though he knew he was about to raise him from the dead. He still allowed himself to feel. Now, God knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly what he's doing with the delay and how it's going to work and move in your life. But don't ever think that God don't love you and God don't care, because God loves you more than anything on the planet. So much so that the only thing that he could do to pay for salvation for all mankind was to give up his son, and he did it. He didn't leave any stone unturned for you. So that same God loves you, and he feels the hurt that you feel when something is held up in your life. He understands our anxious hearts. He gets it. And he has not forgotten. He has not forgotten. Sometimes we think, God, have you forgotten? Because it's been a little bit. Not one detail has fallen through his hand. Not one. Not one. Faith and trust. That's exactly right, Phyllis. Faith and trust. Let's go to verse 38. Jesus, once more, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. And Jesus told them, take away the stone. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time, there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Ain't that just like a woman? Well, Lord, Jesus, you were late. You didn't come. You didn't come when we sent for you. And now he's been dead for 4 days, and it's going to smell when you roll away the stone. It's like when somebody says, I'm on my way to your house and you got 5 minutes to clean up what took you 30 days to mess up. And you're like, there ain't a rug big enough to scoop this stuff up under. And then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Did I not tell you that if you believed... If you believed, see, there's a part of your delay that God is waiting for you to believe him. God is waiting for you to believe Him. Those that come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. God wants you to believe Him more than you believe the stock market, more than you believe the doctor, more than you believe your lawyer, more than you believe your mama, more than you believe anybody. God's wanting you to believe Him. To believe Him. So they took away the stone, and then Jesus looked up and He said, "Father, I thank You that You have heard Me. I knew that You always hear Me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here." What did He do? He went through some motions that He didn't really have to go through, but for the sake of the people with less faith, He said some things. "That they may believe that You sent Me." And when He said this, and He called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to him, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." There is a time and a season where God is going to step in and there won't be a delay. He will take the delay off of the situation and He'll say, "Let them go. Let them go." Amen. Jesus wept because He was grieving. Now, God is not intimidated by the natural in your life, because He's a supernatural God. Amen. He is not intimidated by the natural in your life. He's supernatural. It was a natural thing. Lazarus was sick and he died. He approached natural with supernatural. He spoke His name and He commanded him to come out. All He has to do in your situation and in your problem and on your mountain, all He does is tell it to get on out of there. That's it. Many people are not faithful. They leave God every time there's a hiccup. Now, the third thing, one of the third reasons why we have delays in our life is because other people are connected. How many of you know you can't control anybody but yourself and you have a hard time doing that? There's times where there's a delay and it's because there's other people connected to the answer prayer for you. I ask God all week, "Lord, help me to understand this delay." You begin to show me the other people that were involved. Kelly, somebody in this situation needs more time. You're supposed to be a seasoned believer. Now act like you should. Now act like you should. See, it's one thing to just come up in here on Sunday morning and act just saved as could be. But it's another thing on Monday when you get an opportunity to show up and show out and show yourself and you choose not to. It's one thing, you know, when you get a trial that comes up and you just get all huffy and puffy. See, at what point do we just approach life and the problem like, "You know what, God, You allowed it. You're going to take care of it. You allowed it. You'll take care of it." Has He not done enough in your life for you to trust Him that way? There's other people connected to your answered prayer. And many times, because of that, there's a delay. Because the same God that wants to work it out and it be perfect timing in your life, He also wants it to be perfect timing in someone else's life. Because He promises in His Word that He will work out all things for the good of those that love Him. And I begin to think about the other people that were in this situation with me. And he said, Kelly, that person loves God. They love me just like you do. Go with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. My fourth point, God's timing is perfect, and it's always on time. It's perfect, and it's always on time. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under heaven. There's a time for everything. There is a time for the delay to be done. There's a time for that. And if it's not time yet, stay secure in what He's already done. Go with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8. I'm going to read that out of the King James Version because this is how most people are used to hearing this verse. I'm telling you today that God's timing is perfect. There's a lot of beauty that lives in the delay. And I'm going to tell you something about the delay. Once again, God does not think the way that we think. His thoughts are higher. His ways are higher. We can't even fathom how He works and how He moves and how He solves problems. But usually what happens with us humans is we're going along in life and then boom or bang or oopsie, something presents itself. A problem comes about. And when the problem comes about, we start praying, oh Lord Jesus, this problem just arrived. Lord, help me. Lord, and we start praying, and that's not bad. Keep on doing that. But the way that we approach the issue is completely different. We approach it at the present moment. When something happens, when it's presented itself, when we come to the realization that we're going to have a problem, we begin to pray about that problem with the capacity that we have about it. God answers prayers from the finished picture. You have a problem, and because God is God, He sees the finished product of what He's going to do, and He starts from the finished thing, and He goes back, and He goes right back to where you're at. He's going to lead you right there. But because the problem or the delay did not catch Him by surprise, He ain't going to start there. He knows exactly how He's going to solve it. He knows what He's going to do. He knows how much time it's going to take. God meets His kids right where they're at. It would be better if you were in a place of faith. If you're not there, pray that over your life. I begin to walk outside and look at the problem. It's on my property. It's not Frank. It's not my kids. I love all of them. And I said, Lord, what would you have me do? How do I approach this? Because God, I want to approach it how you want me to. Because I'm a hot-headed Italian woman. I mean, I will burn something down. I will sledgehammer something. I mean, I am all in. And he said, Kelly, just look at it and see it gone. Begin to picture it removed. Look at it, and when it's still there and you're discouraged, Look at it and say, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that it's leaving, that it's moving. Can you look at your problem and plead the blood of Jesus over it? See, my problem just so happens to be an answered prayer for somebody else. My problem is an answered prayer for someone else, and that's going to require a lot of patience. Are you up for the challenge? Can you handle delay in your life when God has allowed it? Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8. Beauty lives in the delay. That is my fifth point. Beauty lives in the delay. Verse 8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better. We would do better if our spirit was patient. Why does God have us pray for patience at times? Because we're lacking. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning. Better is the end. There's times when I'm very discouraged about certain things and that they've lasted longer than I wanted them to last. And in those moments, I pray this verse over those things. And I say, in the name of Jesus, better is the end of a thing than the beginning. Father God, help me to grow. Lord, I know that there is an end to this. And Father, you know that there is an end too. God, you, better is the end of a thing than the beginning. So Lord, help me to be endured through the end. Help me. God, the problem's really not the problem. Lord, the problem is me. And my bad attitude about it. Go with me now to Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10. Also in the King James Version. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning. What does that tell us? You're going to be better than when you started. It also tells us that there is an end. Some people have been in some things for a long time and you're saying, God, how much longer? There is an end. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. Read that one more time. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. Saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. God's going to do it. He's going to do it when he wants to do it. He's going to do it how he wants to do it. And in the end, you will be better, more blessed, more faith for it. Something beautiful is being produced out of your delay. Go with me to Romans chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 3 through 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our heart by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. Nobody that I've ever met likes delay. But often, and more often than not, the greatest work happens between the prayer and the answer. Some of the best moments and the best parts of your life are occurring in between the prayer and the answer. There's a lot of stuff going on up in between here. I want to speak this morning to that person, and You've got some things about the delay twisted up, and I want to tell you, the delay is not punishment. Sometimes we think, well, God's just a mad God, and he's mad at me for I... And you know, there's times where things don't happen quite when we want them to, and we think, well, that it's just not working right for me because I done this 10 years ago, and I did this. And see, we want to keep on thinking that because of something we did, God's not going to be God to us. That ain't right. The delay isn't punishment. God is arranging people. He is preparing hearts. He is aligning the timing. He's building the character, and he's writing something bigger than what you can even fathom. We call it waiting, and God calls it working. Last place for me this morning, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. And I'm going to actually read verses 30 through 31. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 30 through 31. If you're somebody in here this morning, and there's a part of something going on with you, and there's a delay there, and you've been discouraged about the delay, and you want to tell God, God, I'm going to give it to you. Lord, I don't have to know how you're going to work it out. God, I'm going to trust that you're going to work it out. And you're willing to this morning hand over the situation. You're not mad about the delay. You're going to trust him with it. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. I'm going to pray a blessing over you. I'm going to pray the word over you. See, every time you have an issue come up in life, there's a verse for your issue. Isaiah chapter 40, I'm going to start at verse 30. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Verse 31, here is the promise that you need for the delay. But they that wait upon the Lord. I see some very discouraged people. And you're saying, God, what more could I do? God has spelled it out. I'm going to begin to read this one more time, and I'm going to ask you to open up your heart to his word and to his instruction. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. This next part is what he promises to do. See, if you'll wait, the strength's going to be renewed, and this is what he's going to do. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you, God, for every single person that's heard your word this morning. Father, I ask that you would help us to live out the sermon. God, when we want to be discouraged about delays, Lord, I ask that you'd help us to wait and to seek you. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all, church is dismissed. There is a box of